Twitter's new boss has fired half of its workforce. Elon Musk has been making drastic changes since buying the social media platform for $44 billion. Advertisers and users alike are now waiting to see what else is in store for Twitter. This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Mohammed Jamjoum. Elon Musk likes to make headlines. And spending $44 billion to buy one of the biggest social media platforms in the world is one way to achieve that. But the deal has been troubled from the start. Musk tried to back out, but at the 11th hour signed on the dotted line, averting a major court battle. No sooner had the ink dried on the deal than he set about firing half of Twitter's workforce by email after they were locked out of the company's IT systems. Some of those gone include staff with human rights and hate speech expertise. Twitter had been moderating content, notably expelling former U.S. President Donald Trump. Some major advertisers now say they're withholding their business until they see what happens next. We have a lot to get to with our guests, but first, this report from Rob Reynolds in San Francisco.
Just 1 week after buying Twitter, Elon Musk gutted its workforce, firing up to half of its 7,500 employees. At Twitter headquarters in San Francisco, there were no laid-off workers filing out, clutching boxes of their personal effects. All the firings were done by email. Some employees tweeted in colorful language, denouncing what they see as a callous and impersonal method of termination.
I think it's going to create a very tense environment at Twitter, and social media is really all about creativity.
Employees have filed lawsuits against Twitter's new ownership, saying the mass firing violates federal and state laws requiring 60 days advance notice and severance payments. Musk fired all Twitter senior executives last week as soon as he bought the company for $44 billion. Musk also says he wants to charge users a subscription fee to have their identities verified on the platform, which has outraged many users. Musk describes himself as a free speech absolutist and fears that Twitter will relax its moderation under his management. Allowing hate speech and misinformation to flourish has led prominent advertisers, including General Motors, Pfizer, Audi, Volkswagen, and others, to suspend advertising on the platform. Experts also expect elite users in politics, entertainment, and other fields will flee Twitter in droves if its standards on hate speech or misinformation are relaxed.
Major leaders, and especially people within government, can't be associated with that on any social media platform along that nature. And so they will be forced to leave the platform by whoever is managing them.
Musk tweeted on Friday that Twitter has suffered a massive drop in revenue, which he blamed on unnamed activists pressuring advertisers. Musk says he wants to take Twitter into private ownership so that its shares would no longer be publicly traded and it would no longer be subject to federal securities regulation. That's a complicated regulatory process that could take years to accomplish. And with all of the lawsuits already filed, it all means plenty of work for lawyers, even as thousands of Twitter employees are now out of a job. Rob Reynolds, Al Jazeera, San Francisco.
Musk has reassured investors the coming changes won't affect Twitter's user protection rules.
Content moderation policies have not changed at Twitter, and it is not okay to engage in hateful conduct at the bottom of Twitter. So we have had actually targeted attacks where temporarily people have been able to put some hate speech on Twitter, but it was been taken down immediately. So now, part of what I'm trying to achieve with this sort of enabling everyone to be payment verified with Twitter Blue is to try to get as many people payment verified as possible. It's only $8 a month, although for some people that were complaining about that.
The manner in which staff were fired has angered and upset former employees and their representatives.
The only thing that I got officially from Twitter was an email, and that didn't really give any specific reason. So it sounds a bit strange to be fired for cause, but with no actual cause. So I'm still trying to find out what the actual reason is, if it's atypical or if it's standard practice. But people, the only way people would find out would be not any phone call or any email from their employer or their boss, but just by seeing their corp, their work laptop, automatically reboot and just go blank. That's the way people would find out.
This is a highly unusual way to go about a layoff, particularly in Silicon Valley. Often in Silicon Valley, a lot of the tech companies won't want to make these as public and are much more afraid of negative PR than in this situation. Additionally, one of the things that if I were advising employees in this situation, I would be looking to who exactly is getting laid off. Is it whistleblowers? Is there any disparate effect on any particular demographics?
All right, let's go ahead and bring in our guests. In Belmullet County, Mayo in Ireland, Adrian Weckler, technology editor of the Irish Independent newspaper. In San Francisco, Kara Brennan Alamano, chief people officer at Lattice, a people management software company. And in Kyoto, Japan, Mark Einstein, a digital media specialist with the ITR Corporation. A warm welcome to you all, and thanks so much for joining us today on Inside Story. Mark, let me start with you today. So it's being reported that in order to fund his $44 billion acquisition of Twitter, Elon Musk loaded the company with $13 billion in debt, and that comes with more than $1 billion a year in interest payments. So how much pressure does that put Twitter under right now? And at the end of the day, does that mean that Elon Musk has bought Twitter for far more than it's worth?
Well, I think that is literally the $44 billion question. I would say that it has been a question since Twitter's inception if it really is able to monetize, and does this really match the valuation that it's always had. I think that right now we're kind of seeing a rude awakening for Twitter, so I do expect a very, very drastic change in both their business model and their strategy going forward.
Kara, how chaotic and haphazard have the layoffs at Twitter been thus far? How confusing and how difficult has that made things for those who have lost their jobs?
You know, I was connecting with some folks that recently lost their job from Twitter just yesterday, and the word that they used is devastated. They felt not only that they were still had many questions about their future, their immediate future. There are a lot of questions that haven't been answered by the Twitter team, but they're also feeling really upset about the loss of the Twitter that they thought they knew. And the new leadership has come in, and they feel a true lack of respect for what has been built and a true uncertainty for the mission of Twitter and the future of the business that they had put so much effort into. So particularly in the San Francisco Bay Area, we're feeling it, and we're feeling it for these former tweets.
And Adrian, when it comes to how chaotic and haphazard these layoffs have been handled, we are hearing reports that some of those who were fired have actually been asked back already. What have you heard when it comes to that?
I've heard very similar things. Here in Dublin, Twitter employs 500 people, and the word you used is correct. It's chaos. They've gotten rid of most of the curation teams. They would be the teams responsible for creating legitimate information alongside topics that have a high risk of misinformation. They've gotten rid of a lot of the machine learning ethics teams affecting the algorithm, as well as the transparency and accountability teams. And even the trust and safety team, which is the one we all talk about, and Twitter says they've only cut 15% of that team. They're the front-facing content moderators. There's a lot of evidence now that there's already chaos going on Twitter. We know that in the first 24 hours after Elon Musk took over, use of the racial slur term, the N-word, increased by 500%. Musk himself tweeted and then deleted a homophobic conspiracy theory a few days ago. So the company is in chaos, and there's a lot of fear about the kind of misinformation we'll see.
Adrian, let me follow up with you regarding that point that you were making about these fears about the potential spread of misinformation on the platform. There was an open letter that was sent by Volker Türk. He's the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, and he said that reports that Elon Musk had laid off Twitter's entire human rights team were not an encouraging start, and he expressed apprehension about our digital public square and Twitter's role in it. He also warned against propagating hate speech and misinformation, and he highlighted the need to protect user privacy. How much concern is building right now regarding all of this?
Absolutely huge. I mean, as well as the teams that I've mentioned that the company has cut, which are supposed to be the safeguards against misinformation, which are supposed to, value the main reason we all come to Twitter in the big public news moments, because that's what Twitter is. Twitter's also cutting the infrastructure team, which means servers and cloud services. Now, we're coming up to midterm elections in the US. Early voting has already started. There is a very real chance that the servers may now crash. This is insiders in Twitter are telling me. So that all adds up to a very, very worrying climate over the next few weeks.
Kara, Adrian was just talking about these reports that the infrastructure teams at Twitter had been cut, that some of the members of the rights teams had been cut, had been laid off. Let me ask you, aside from how much concern all of this is causing, from your vantage point, could these layoffs have been handled differently? And if so, how? I mean, from your vantage point, what steps should have been taken?
There are a lot of examples, even recently in Silicon Valley, of layoffs that have been handled really thoughtfully and compassionately. We saw Jack Dorsey tweet a level of personal responsibility for these. I think that's a start. This is about understanding that each one of these, what we're hearing is 3,700 employees, has life, has a family potentially, have friends that they're concerned about. And with just a little more planning, that's the unfortunate thing. Just a little more planning and a little more thoughtfulness, I think this could have gone a lot better. Some of the things that that employers have done, as we have gone through a number of layoffs at banner companies in Silicon Valley, is they provided extended periods of severance. Some have offered to give outplacement services. They've even turned their own recruiting teams into search firms for those exited employees to help them find new roles within Silicon Valley. They've helped create alumni groups, which I understand are ex-Twitter employees are now self-organizing into alumni groups so they can share information because there's been such a lack of information. This is something in Silicon Valley that people understand, unfortunately, because we've gone through a lot of cycles within our business, right? Within our industry. We know what it's like when tech is hit with a macroeconomic downturn, and often we pull together to help people have really soft landings. And the leader of those of that empathetic approach is often the employers, because we also know that there's often a time when things get better, and those folks want to be seen as the respectful employer so that they can get the very best talent. In a truly knowledge-based economic situation that we have in Silicon Valley, where one engineer, one trust and safety person can be a 10x multiple on your business, we have to treat people really well because we know we may want them in the next 2 years when things look a little bit better. I can tell you that's definitely not the conversation that's being had around Twitter and Twitter leadership right now.
Mark, Twitter has seen a massive drop in revenue these past few days, and there are some advertisers who have paused their spending as a result of the concerns surrounding Twitter right now. How concerned are advertisers, and also how much is Twitter dependent on ad revenue?
I mean, well, yeah. So Twitter is basically completely dependent on ad revenue. And that's why Elon Musk has announced new business models like potentially a subscription fee. And I think this is really the beginning of all sorts of other services that will be attempted. Whether or not they pan out is another story. You know, however, I do want to point out that a lot of the big names of advertisers who are leaving the platform happen to be automotive companies like Audi and Volkswagen and GM. Well, these are also competitors of Tesla. And of course, they wouldn't want their marketing campaign information to be in the hands of a company with, you know, relationships with a competitor. So I think we need to be very clear about that. But that being said, you know, the failure or the inability of Twitter as a whole to get away from a purely ad-based revenue business model is the reason that they're losing $4 million a day. And I think really ultimately why they are in this predicament. There's a lot of showmanship that happens when Elon Musk does anything. But the underlying issue is they're just losing money because they're just not diversified as a company.
Mark, are we starting to get a clearer picture of what Elon Musk's ultimate vision is for Twitter and how ambitious that vision may be? I mean, you talked about the need for reorganization, restructuring, and also, you know, how significantly has the platform changed already?
Well, I mean, as to what specifically is going on internally is not something I have direct knowledge of. But, you know, I'm based in Japan. And when we look at the kind of Web 2.0 giants in Japan, like Rakuten or Kakao in South Korea or, you know, BAT in China, you know, these super apps are very diversified. And so, for example, when COVID hit, for example, ride sharing went down to zero, but food delivery exploded. And so overall, these companies weathered the storm fairly well. I think that Elon Musk ultimately has a grand vision to do something like this with Twitter. Again, but it's really the execution that's going to be the big question mark as opposed to what the vision is. But yeah, definitely diversification into a super app is what I think he's thinking. And there's probably a cryptocurrency angle to that as well.
Adrian, you heard Mark there talk about super apps and how they have changed and developed in Asian countries. I want to ask you a little bit right now about the EU specifically, because under the European Union Digital Services Act, large tech companies will be required to have robust content moderation systems to ensure they can quickly take down illegal material such as hate speech. So what is the policing of Twitter going to look like going forward in the EU?
It's going to be much tougher. So Twitter already got a fine here in Dublin in Ireland. It was a data privacy fine. It wasn't much money at all, but the European authorities have been very, very active over the last year or two in fining big tech companies. Instagram got a 400 million euro fine. Google got a 4 billion euro fine. The EU in general takes the gloves off when it comes to big tech companies, particularly US big tech companies. And you're right to point out the Digital Services Act, even though that won't be enacted until 2024, won't come into effect, rather, until 2024. That has very significant provisions in it, particularly targeting things like misinformation, hate speech, and the fines there could be very significant, up to 6% of annual turnover. Now, for Twitter, at the moment, that would be around 300 million euro, but that's not money that Twitter can afford.
Kara, Elon Musk is already facing legal challenges as a result of these layoffs. From your perspective, do you think he's going to be facing even more? And potentially, how might these play out going forward?
I think there's always legal risk when you have any type of reduction in force. I think they have exacerbated that risk in the choices they've made at Twitter. Though I also think there has been some thought related to how they can protect themselves in some of the structure of how they've approached these layoffs. They're saying that technically people are going to be paid through the beginning of June. Through the beginning of January. So those types of things help them de facto accommodate the laws that we have in California and in North America related to layoffs. The thing that I'm actually much more concerned about is what they're going to do in order to execute the strategy that they have ahead of them. We have a saying here in Silicon Valley that culture eats strategy for breakfast. And fundamentally, they've exited many of the employees that have built the culture of trust and safety, the culture of human rights focus in the organization. We know that they have dismantled all of their employee resource groups, which includes groups that are focused on equal rights, racial equality, all those different elements that attract the right kind of thoughtful employees to your business. And those are the things, to me, that are equal risk with some of these potential legal challenges. Lattice, the company that I work for, has done our own research, and we know that 23% of employees already are facing disengagement coming out of the pandemic. Mm. How do you get people engaged who are sitting at Twitter right now and asking them to face the challenges that Elon Musk says he's going to overcome? Mm.
And Kara, just very quickly, because we are starting to run out of time, the layoffs that we've seen at Twitter, I mean, you're talking about the impact some of this is having on Silicon Valley. How much of a chill is this sending to workers throughout the tech industry right now?
It definitely is. We've had a slow drumbeat of layoffs to date that started happening at the beginning of summer. As many of you know, tech is one of the earliest industries to be affected by some of these macroeconomic shifts. We started hearing of organizations that have frozen hiring. We know that Apple has said that they expect to not hire very much through 2023. Mm-hmm. And just this week, we had Lyft, Stripe, and others doing significant layoffs. Mm-hmm. So this feels like a punch in the gut. And to have the story played out on Twitter and have so many people connected to these employees, yeah, it's been a tough time.
Adrian, Twitter wants to get as many users as possible to enhance its advertising value and revenues. Of course, somebody like former President Donald Trump brought it a huge volumes of hits. Do you think going forward that lifetime bans for folks like Donald Trump are going to be lifted by Elon Musk? Do you think that we'll see Trump return to Twitter or others who got lifetime bans? And how much concern is that raising?
I think the intention is to lift that ban on Trump from everything that Elon Musk has said, all of the signals that he has sent out. I think that comes with huge risk to him and to Twitter for the reasons I've just outlined under the European Union's Digital Service Act, with Europe essentially being now the regulator for the World Wide Web. But as to the kind of people we're going to see who are going to be attracted, that's going to depend hugely on new measures like the $8 per month for your blue verified checkmark. Mm. The problem with that is, if you're somebody like me who has a blue checkmark and who won't pay the $8, if you've a lot of the 400,000 of us who just won't pay, that means you've fewer verified people on Twitter. And the whole reason to come to Twitter in a big news moment is for the authenticity of people who are tweeting out what they know. So that could be a big problem.
And Mark, we only have about a minute and a half left. Let me ask you to follow up on what Adrian was saying about this plan to charge people around $8 a month for this blue verified check on Twitter going forward. When it comes to the controversy over charging people, there are those who are saying that this could in fact backfire for Twitter and that it could disincentivize prominent accounts from actually being verified. Is this really a money-making prospect for Twitter, or do you think that this has the potential to cause to be a big backfire?
Well, I mean, again, I think that if they are really losing $4 million a day, like Elon Musk says, then something has to change, and they are going to have to change their business model. Verifying people for money, you know, whether the $8 is for everybody, whether there are tier systems, whether people can be grandfathered in, I think has remained to be seen. But to me, the key message is that things do have to change from a financial perspective, because Twitter is not a nonprofit organization. So
all right,
that's my take.
All right. Well, we have run out of time, so we're going to have to leave the conversation there. Thanks so much to all of our guests, Mark Einstein, Kara Brennan-Alamano, and Adrian Weckler. And thank you, too, for watching. You can see the program again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. And for further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is @AJInsideStory. From me, Mohammed Jamjoum, and the whole team here in Doha, bye for now.